Salam sejahtera anda bersama saya Cynthia Ng dalam agenda awani dalam satu temu bual khas sempena Hari Wanita Sedunia. Hari yang penting bagi kita mengiktiraf dan juga menghargai kejayaan wanita, tetapi pada masa sama penting juga kita melihat cabaran yang masih dihadapi golongan wanita dalam isu kesaksamaan gender, sama ada dalam aspek peluang pekerjaan mahupun pendapatan. Dan pada hari ini saya berkesempatan bertemu dengan tiga wanita yang hebat dalam acara MAFCAP Accelerating Ventures Event, dan mereka bersama saya di agenda awani pada kali ini. Saya ingin memperkenalkan, I'd like to introduce right next to me is Nuan Zainal. She is the founding member of Durio Plus, which is a video streaming platform focusing on Islamic content for children. And next to her, we have Jian. She is Yu Jianli. She is the CEO and founder of Citron Capital, a venture capital firm investing in impact sectors. Thank you so much, Jian, for coming on the show. Last but not least, we have So Yan Yi. She's the co-founder and group CEO of Avana. Avana is a social commerce platform helping business owners manage their sales and operations on their social media platforms. So ladies, thank you so much for making time for this interview. As I've mentioned, this interview is in conjunction with Women's Day, and I'm sure there's a lot of issues to talk about, but you know, just to give us a bit of context and for our audience benefit, can you tell us why all three of you are entrepreneurs? Why did you choose entrepreneurship, or did it choose you, Nuan?
So basically, I'm here as an entrepreneur and also a founding team of Durio Plus. So why I started, because I like the concept of making people happy. So I think I can do this through Durio Plus, because our content is creating content directly for children. So yeah.
All right. So. And for Jian, your venture capital firm focuses on impact sectors. And talk to us about that and why this particular area.
Right. I guess impact is a pretty big topic to start with. So I come from the impact sector myself. So I work in non-profit organizations, social enterprises, research institute that kind of help support either for societal benefits or the environmental benefits. And then due to certain obligations or responsibility, I will have to do investments for the family. So then I did traditional investments in across different asset classes. And then I was like, yeah, but this doesn't quite align to my own passion, because I think myself and a lot of people my generations look for something bigger than ourselves. We want to contribute back. And so then I came across impact investments, and just one conference is all it took for me to start Citron, and I just kept it going for the last few years. I'll probably be running it for the rest of my life because I really enjoy it. I get to do well and do good at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's how I started and loving it so far.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'd like to get to Yan Yi as well. Avana, I understand, helps a lot of SMEs, micro businesses. Talk to us about the company and yourself. No, did you fall into entrepreneurship, or is it something that you had always wanted to do?
I guess I got introduced into the industry when I was in university. Back then, we had something called the block shops. So I was very intrigued because you could access a lot of fashion options at a very affordable price. As a college student, right, you have limited budget. Right. And that's where my interest grew. When I met my co-founder, we were kind of solving the same problem from different angles. So that's how Avana came about. So by now you can tell I am a shopaholic and I'm helping more brands to go digital and scale. And this also gives us an opportunity to recognize more local brands.
All right. Now speaking about going digital, this is a topic that we have talked at length over the past 2 years, especially during the pandemic. Yes, it has accelerated digitalization, but there are still many businesses which are facing systemic barriers to going online, you know, to getting funding. And I do wonder, personally, for all three of you entrepreneurs, what kind of challenges do you think, or limitations do you think female founders or entrepreneurs face specifically? Nuan,
me
can start first.
Okay, I think that our industry, I came from an industry that a lot of men's, you know, creating content. So even in my company now, 30% is ladies and the rest is the men. So the challenge that we face normally is how we can work together as a team to make sure that there's no bias in the giving the ideas and so on. And then to make sure that our content is actually speak out to the men and also women is balanced and it's diverse across the whole organizations. That's normally a challenge that we face. Yeah.
And in the content that you put out, is that an intentionality to, you know, break down some of these gender biases that you just talked about?
Because we just started, but basically we have some guidelines to make sure we have to follow, and we have to be mindful in terms of creating content to make sure it has balance. So, for example, currently, we not just for women, we also actually make sure that they have a balance of colours, they speak as people of colours in all content. Yeah, women is one of that.
Well, so diversity and inclusion is something that, you know, we are really giving focus to, especially in lines of, you know, the ESG values. I do wonder now, as bosses, right, as someone who hires, is there more intentionality in terms of commitment towards diversity and inclusion, like yourself, Jen? Is it something that you look into?
Right. I guess to give you a bit more context is also that we do not explicitly do gender lens impact investings, whereas there are a lot of impact investors out there that actually explicitly look into investing into women-led enterprises. But for us, not so much. So I personally value a lot more someone's character, someone's personality, their skills and their merits, regardless of their age, their gender, their nationality or seniority even. So I guess that's something that we actually look into. But of course, with the whole ESG stuff, people will always bring up what's the percentage on your board,
right,
what's the percentage in your workforce, what's the gender pay gap and stuff like that. So those, when we are making investments, we do check them out as well. We do intensive due diligence on these companies. But really, it all boils down to the team. And I think just looking among our portfolio companies, I think there are quite a fair bit of women founder, as well as women in leading C-level positions. I guess it's well balanced, but I do not explicitly say, hey, I only invest in women-led companies, because if a company brings a good product or service to benefit the society or the environment, I think that's good. It's a sustainable business model, scalable as well, whether it's women or men-led. I think that's secondary to it, so I do not explicitly say, hey, only that.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Yin-Yu? You know, when you in your organization, is there an explicit or commitment towards fostering more diversity and inclusivity?
We do not, I think similar to Jen, we do not specifically seek out different gender roles. Of course, the talent pool is kind of skewed in a sense where all my engineers are male. But, you know, like your front end and your UI, UX, there's more female. Whereas my frontliners are primarily female, less male. Not so much that I go out and do this to filter them that way. That's just how the talent pool is. And I think we hire based on merit. Yeah, so whether you're a fresh grad, whether you've been very experienced, I think at the end of the day, because running a startup, you don't really have something to refer to. It's kind of a fresh start for everyone. So if you can add value to the company, you know, we're more than happy to welcome you on board.
Okay. But when we talk about women, I think a few things that come to mind when it comes to barriers. For instance, keeping, retaining women in the workforce. You mentioned that most of your tech people are men, and it's quite baffling to see that there are more women, female graduates entering the universities and graduate, but as they move up or the workforce, the career ladder, they tend to drop out, usually at mid-management level. I'm not sure if there's an insight that you have noticed, and can you talk a bit about that in the startup world, and do you see the same kind of experience or observation?
Yeah, I do. Okay, it comes back to, okay, when you do hiring, all right? Okay, when we do hiring, it's basically we check on what's the passion of the woman is, you know? So normally, women, the lady, the mother, normally they like to have some flexibility. Mm-hmm. So, they want to check that it's one of the perks of the company or not, right? So we at Duroplus is actually, we set up a policy. We provide flexibility not just for women and also for the guy as well. So it's how you understand how they work, how they work, what they want in the company. So how the setup in the company to make sure that we can support them.
Okay.
That's
right policy to have.
Especially a mother. Especially a mother. Yeah. Okay. So
among the panelists and myself here, I mean, only Nuon is a mother, so she understands really well sometimes the constraints and the additional work that you have to do.
If I want to share, I think 2 to 3 years ago, I hired few of ladies who actually stopped from workforce because they want to focus the children. All right, so we invite pool of people, the ladies that they want to try work back, tapi tak dapat, you know, kerja dekat tempat
returning
lain.
Returning to the workforce.
Returning to the workforce, mm-hmm. tak dapat kerja lain. So we try to offer and give them space. We provide training to them, and yeah, they are happy and they are one of the leaders in the company as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as both of you are founders and also looking at, you know, at management role, is that something that you look into as well in your policies and to support not just female but the necessities that some employees need at the moment, you know, which is more flexibility and support?
Yeah, I guess. I think as most of the people always say, people are our greatest asset. So then we do incorporate certain policies into place, like well-being. So we take care of well-being and of our employees in a more holistic way, not just say outpatients, medical claims. That's not all they get. Insurance as well. If they need help for counsellors, we do that as well. So that's for our startup level. But I think there is a difference between startup companies as well as more established public listed companies, because we invest in both, both ends as well. So you will see that a lot of the startups are actually not having these sort of resources to be providing for the employees. They are even, I think a lot of the founders are even underpaying themselves because they are risking it with their career to be starting a company from scratch that closely aligns to their heart.
Yeah.
So it may also be unfair to say that, hey, you got to have all of this in place to show that you take care of your people, but they do. It's just that maybe resource might be constrained. Yeah. Whereas on the listed company side, then they will have all sorts of policies. I think the most hardcore ones that I've seen, the best practices might be they have nursing they have policies that caters towards the need of nursing mothers, to mothers under 5, as well as, I don't know, single moms and stuff like that as well. But I think that it's more towards the global north than the global south. So, again, different countries, different policies, different companies at different stages, also different policies.
Well, totally. Yeah. I totally understand that because your mindset as an entrepreneur, as you know, someone who's just started a company compared to someone who has worked in the company with, you know, a corporate environment is completely different, you know. So in your area of expertise, in your little environment, you know, what do you think is essential, you know, to help attract and retain talent?
Well, to be honest, we did lose quite a number of very good talents when, you know, they give birth to their first or second kid, and it's not entirely because we don't offer the support. Sometimes it's also the family's decision, right? So you don't want to be in a position where it's like choose your family over the company. And we wish them well. It's a bittersweet moment. I think like Jen said, you know, as a startup, we unfortunately are not able to cater as much benefits. You know, flexibility and all that is something that we can do. We understand that we're hard workers. But, you know, when push comes to shove, it's really like, hey, you know, I need you now.
Right.
But I don't want to be in a position where you have to choose your family over the company or vice versa. It's a difficult decision to make. My hope is one day I can be big enough to support the needs. And it might sound a bit selfish because I'm not a mother myself. So a lot of people think that, oh, you don't understand. But the thing is, you know, from a founder's perspective, we have limited resources.
Right.
Growing a company is not that easy. I like to liken it that, you know, I don't have kids, but my team are like my kids, right? So I have a bunch of them to take care. And sometimes during the interview, I'm just very upfront what is expected of the talent. And if you think you can commit, then let's explore. Otherwise, you know, I would really recommend that if you need all these benefits and everything else, you might find it better elsewhere. Yeah.
It goes back to the conversation of, you know, can you have it all? You know, you want to pursue your passion.
Yes,
at
yes.
the same time, you still want that flexibility
exactly.
and independence.
Yeah.
But in that case, do you feel that policies could help support in some ways? Is there something that is beneficial to your industry?
Policies might help with a guideline, mm-hmm. but implementing those policies might be a bit challenging. Yeah, and also you have to take into context culture, right? So, of course, then you have your team members comparing to larger companies, comparing to overseas, where your maternity leave could, you know, be 6 to 12 months. We don't have the luxury of that, right?
Right.
Every time I lose a team member, like, there's a huge gap in operations already. And I guess, like, we have to meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So policies are policies. You know, for lack of a better term, sometimes they're nice to have, but difficult to implement.
What about you? What are your thoughts, Jen?
Yeah, I think aligned with Nini as well. Policy is kind of like a hardware. It's just black and white paper. So it takes a lot of the software, the culture to be implementing
right.
such. So if you're working in a startup or even a big company has a good culture in place, be it flexibility, be it work-life balance,
mm-hmm.
or be it well-being as a whole, I think all of that requires people who aligns the values, the principles and all of them coming together to be pushing a common agenda forward, which is the company's mission in general. Yeah, so it again takes both type of hardware and software to be pushing things.
So in that case, resources is really the limitation here.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's always a challenging.
Yeah.
It's always a challenging.
That's why successful entrepreneurs are usually very resourceful.
Yeah.
With the limited resources they've got, and how do they leverage on it to be making different decisions?
I think I want to echoing from Jean. She said just now that the people is most important assets. Yeah, I totally agree. But I want to add up, the right people, people is not the is not the important asset, but the right people are. So when we do, hiring is more important.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that the culture, the perks, is it aligned with the candidates and what you guys want to achieve in 1 to 3 years as a mother, you know. I think it helps in terms of managing expectation from the early stage.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, if I can open this question to all three of you here at your stage, at this stage, you know, of your career and as a founder, you know, what are the steps or support do you need, you know, to bring your business and your goals to the next level? I'll start with Nuan.
Well. I think as the entrepreneur or the one who actually lead the company and set up the culture in the company, I think I have to be the front person who talks on behalf of the woman in the company.
Okay.
Because sometimes guys, walaupun they are actually care for the woman, but sometimes when it comes to the very, you know, we are startup, it's very some challenge phase. So have to remind them, you know, that the responsibility is different for ladies, and the acceptance of ladies is different. Ladies have a lot of emotion. So how to conduct the conversation or something like that. Yeah.
What about you, Jen?
Support, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess support most important again, the right people. As well. It's well known that resources is constrained and time constrained, energy constrained. So
I think
the support that I would appreciate most is knowing that I've got a strong team behind my back, so I can always fall back on no matter what, because I think it's you supporting me, supporting them. So, well, I'm a founder, but I'm not a founder without my team. So then I guess that kind of reciprocity between team members as well as founders. I don't see like hierarchy, so it's more like partnership as well, because I know what you want in life, I know what they know what I want in life as well, and then so happen that the company is our similar vision, so then that's where we go for it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I guess support from people, network, support system, which is, I don't think just a founder would need, everybody would need a strong support system to be supporting
mm-hmm.
them throughout their whole life. Yeah.
All right. Whether it be professional or in your personal life. Yin Yi, what about your thoughts? You know, she mentioned about, you know, she being the front-facing person when it comes to women agenda. And, you know, we talked at length earlier at the MEFCAP panel session about lack of role models, women role models. Do you think that is something that...
I would say that because most of us who run a startup, it's uncharted territory, right? Mm-hmm. So we are innovating, we are coming up with something new. There's no exact kind of example for us to refer to to begin with. Yes, we can have mentors, we can have role models in different areas. So you would need like a whole entire ecosystem of that. And the other thing, I guess, like I think both of them mentioned about the right talent. My personal experience is yes, right talent, but usually they might not be able to grow as fast as the company does, and that's very unfortunate. So, you know, gone are the days where, you know, they've been with us since day one and then they're there when we ring the bell, right? But that's not the case anymore. You can see that because we grow leaps and bounds, right? So every time we have a growth spurt, you can see there are some team members that cannot catch up, whether it's personal reasons or, you know, just the environment, I'm not sure. And coming to terms with letting team go, especially your early team, that is a very difficult decision to make, right? I did have one mentor tell me that you wouldn't be able to retain your first 100 team members. That was a tough pill to swallow. And now, 7 years into the business, I can see why. I understand why, and I guess, you know, no hostages at this stage. Same goes for role models, because your early advisors might only bring you like the next 2 or 3 steps.
Right.
But you need someone that, you know, brings you there every step of the way, right? So what does it mean to be a bootstrap founder and then raise your seed fund and then scale, expansion, how to prioritize? I guess this helps to reduce the costly mistakes that we make. But ultimately, no one knows the business better than ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really like, you know, like risk-reward, you know, kind of situation. And every day, you just like, am I making the right decision? And we got to live with our decisions.
Right. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because from the investor point of view, even founders can be replaced themselves as well. So even ourselves might be replaced with someone who will be able to bring the company to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's something that we just have to learn to accept as part of life.
Yes.
People come and go, and we also have to grow in certain manner as well.
And I think, you know, as entrepreneurs, just looking how hard you guys work, Yin Yi has lots of work.
Yes.
You know, many businesses, I think it's especially true for startups, and you run on a culture of you know, anytime, anywhere, you have to get on your emails, get on calls, and it's tough, tougher than, you know, a normal person working a 9-to-5 job. And I do wonder if you have any advice for entrepreneurs looking to make that leap, you know, to start something, to pursue their passion, and have doubts about, is this what it is? No, can we be better than
okay, so if
this?
You have doubt, then don't be an entrepreneur.
So yeah. What about advice can you give them?
I guess for me is when I speak to my fellow founder friends, we are all kind of the same person, right? So we're all type A, we hustle. You know, we want to break barriers, make things happen.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, when we start, I think most of us were in our mid-20s, you know, full of energy, very naive, right? So we just like, hey, hustle. And sometimes... sometimes you forget to stop, you forget to take a break, right? And having the people around you that share the same challenges, I think that really helps. Because it's something that I'm sure every founder, our parents don't understand, our siblings don't understand. Unless your spouse is also in the same ecosystem, they don't understand either. And they're like, why work so hard, right? And for us, it's like, yeah, because I really want to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that fear kind of holding you back, then maybe this is...
But did you not have that fear when you first started?
I did, but, you know, I was young and naive, right?
So a bit of naivety goes a long way as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so I was just like, hey, let's do this because it's something that I really like and it's really fun.
Okay.
Of course, when you start, you don't think about scaling, right? So it's like, hey, 10-man team. no problem, right? You're just friends. And then a 100-man team is a different problem.
Is that something that you face early on, starting a company?
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of, you know, the feeling that you're not comfortable with, you fear to face the problem and so on. But I think I am, after how many years, more than 10 years in business, what I learned is, if you create a business that not just for you, mm-hmm. just for the community that you serve, and the why, the mission is bigger than you,
okay.
is just keep on going. So somehow that need to revisit the mission of the company as well, so that you feel motivated.
To keep your eye on the ball and have the North Star, know what you're striving for in your company. Mm-hmm. All right, last but not least, I'll give this opportunity to Jen to just wrap this up for us. Now, what kind of advice could you offer to entrepreneurs or, you know, like-minded individuals who are looking to take a big step into the unknown, the uncharted territory?
I guess, like Yanyi mentioned as well, when we were younger, it's just pure sheer willpower. It's like we're just going to jump into it, learn by doing, jump into the sea, and then you eventually learn how to swim. But I guess as we age as well, we become more mature in our mm-hmm. thinking, about our decision-making, about all the consequences of our decisions as well. So I think, similar to what Yanyi said, it's always good to take a break, because mm-hmm. if you don't, you just keep rushing it. And then if you rush off every stage of it, you will create certain backlogs in which it may be a roadblock in mm-hmm. the future. So you always got to take it step by step, otherwise then it's just going to get too large and eventually you burn out, which is happening a lot mm-hmm. To a lot of founders, even some of our portfolio companies, to be very honest with you, mm-hmm. because they feel like they're alone, and then it's just never-ending tasks to be doing. Right. Company can never stop growing, isn't it? And so then they feel pressured to be doing so many things at the same time, anywhere, anytime, like you mentioned just now as well. So it's good to take a step back. So always just realign back to why you're doing this,
mm-hmm.
So that you remain grounded and focused, yet still know that you're a human being.
You still have enough fuel in the tank.
Yes, human,
to
regardless of
day.
Gender again, yeah. Regardless of the gender, just... you are just a collective big human being group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think I'm going to end it with there.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Nuan, Jian and Yanyi, for sharing your experience, especially, you know, to being very honest in this conversation, that it's not easy, but I think that support and network comes in really handy to support you, you know, to keep things functioning, and you know, to also maintain your mental and physical well-being.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much to all three of you for sharing your thoughts.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.